We're going to start today with housing, because from the city of Boston all the way to Beacon Hill, leaders acknowledge that both lack of supply and affordability are creating maybe the biggest challenge the Commonwealth faces for its future, which means we need new solutions and we need them quickly. WBUR's Yasmin Ammer reports some developers are eyeing a potential solution that's been little used before now, manufactured or prefabbed housing. Its popularity first took off overseas. Recently, it's gained traction in some U.S. states, and now it's arriving in this region. Yasmin is here to tell us more. Also joining us, Ivan Rupnik, who's an associate professor of architecture at Northeastern University. Yasmin, welcome back.
Thank you, Tiziana. Good to be here.
Great to have you. And Ivan, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody.
So, Yasmin, let's start with a couple of questions on your reporting. The housing crisis, let's size that shark for people, right? What's it look like? How's it being felt here in Massachusetts?
So I'm going to just answer that by speaking to things people are already probably feeling. There are all sorts of eye-popping statistics when it comes to housing. I find them every day. And so if you are looking for a house or if you are thinking about a house, it's not you. It's the market. If that's a comforting thought. Like in 2005, I'm looking at these statistics from Massachusetts Association of Realtors. And in 2005, that's 3 years before the housing crisis of 2008, there were five times as many single-family homes on the market. So five times the inventory of single-family homes. For condominiums, there are about four times as many condos. So there's just not much out there. And then I have to say also most of Greater Boston, or a lot of Greater Boston, let me say, a lot of Greater Boston is only zoned for single-family houses. So people are not building as much. You're also not allowed to build as much.
Okay. And just quickly, the big drivers here.
It's zoning. It's zoning. First of all, communities are being very restrictive for whatever reason. They just don't want traffic. People have all sorts of reason why they don't want multifamily housing. And then the other side is we've had downturns. After 2008, not as many builders came back. A lot of them went away and not as many came back. And also that just recently happened with COVID. We haven't seen the exact recovery in the market. Every time there's a downturn, it doesn't quite go back to normal.
Okay, so Ivan, now enter this push for prefab or manufactured housing, and we'll get to where we are today for in a minute. But is this a new thing? Is there a history of manufactured housing? How old is this particular type of housing solution?
Again, the term manufactured is specific in the U.S., but I can come back to that. That actually has the legal designation. But prefabricated or offsite housing has been around in the U.S. for 100 years. So we can find some of the first large examples in cities like New York and in places like Ohio and even in Boston.
And how come it matters whether we call it prefabbed or manufactured?
So manufactured housing now is a term that designates a particular kind of offsite that is actually regulated by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. So it has its own code. It has its own parameters. And there's a lot of other types of housing that fit within, let's say, normal code, the same codes that site-built housing is. So manufactured housing has a particular distinction, but the issue of terminology is one of the barriers to the growth of this sector. So I think we're already on to some of the issues that that are preventing its growth.
And one more thing before I come back to Yasmin, Ivan, my understanding is that in the earlier days, there were issues around the longevity, the ability to kind of hold up to the wear and tear of time in earlier forms of manufactured or prefab housing. And that might have even led to a push to do some regulation. Is that fair?
Again, within the mobile home industry, where structures that were intended for temporary recreational use were being used in earlier housing crises, sometimes as permanent housing, and HUD stepped in, increased the regulations, the standards, and has improved that kind of housing, which we do now call manufactured housing, which is a subset of prefabricated or offsite housing. And now those structures are very safe, and they are used long-term, just like site-built housing.
So that's really where I wanted to get to bring us up to today, Yasmin Ammer. And we're speaking with WBUR business reporter Yasmin Ammer and Ivan Rupnik of Northeastern University, sort of the old not your father's Oldsmobile, right? So now we have this push for today's manufactured or factory-made housing. How does today's stuff work? Tell us about it.
So I want you to imagine just a factory setting. It's a massive factory because, yes, it makes buildings. And imagine these big rectangular boxes, each one just like its own apartment with kitchen, bathroom, walls. And then to help me further imagine that scenario, I want you to hear from Sarah Ann Logan. She's the vice president of design at this company that is really taking one of the leads on this, Volumetric Building Companies.
We are building life-size Lego blocks that people can live in. And the Lego blocks are made in a factory, and they're delivered on a truck, and they're lifted by a crane, and then people move in.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun metaphor, but basically, they do take these life-size Lego blocks and kind of stack them on top of one another and then finish the buildings. But 80% or so, or 75% is on the site in New Hampshire that I visited. 75% of the work was done. The building work was done. All the apartments were delivered and stacked on top of each other. And now the job is to just finish it, inspect it, and let people live in it.
So, Ivan, I'm noticing that Yasmin is saying stacked on top of each other, right? So this sounds like what manufactured or prefabricated housing is really most suited for is apartment style or multifamily or multi-unit type of construction. Is that true?
It really fulfills any housing need. There's still a lot more single family simply because the U.S., we like our single family housing. We like to spread out. So it certainly works in both. In the case of VBC or Volumetric Building Companies, they are a company that's entirely focused on multifamily currently, although they grew up maybe 10 or 15 years ago in the single family sector because actually our market's shifted since the housing crisis. We have had more growth in multifamily. So used companies have tended to focus where the growth is.
And it happens, Yasmin, that this New Hampshire developer that you spoke with was all in on multifamily developing. Is that right?
That's what he's focused on. His name is Jack Franks. Yes, developer in New Hampshire. And he's really committed to this factory-made housing. He says it's faster. He even wants to build his own factory. And he just, he's a big fan.
All right, so I want to kind of take stock of where we are. We're talking about a form of housing that's been around for about 100 years, different forms in the past, new kinds of regulations, new types of technologies. If I understand it, Ivan is saying, hey, you can do single family with it or you can do multifamily. Yasmin, you're saying there are developers who are starting to catch on to this and say, I think this is a solution. And it has, I think you're both saying, potential to help us both with our housing stock and our affordability. So let me just check in with both of you. Yasmin, so far, am I up to speed?
You are up to speed. It definitely has the potential as a technical solution. The things that I mentioned earlier in the conversation, it's not going to change zoning. It's not necessarily going to change permitting. So that's kind of the sticking point. We could have all the factories that make the most wonderful housing that we could ever want. But you need both process and tech.
Yeah, so therein lies the rub. Let me come back to you, Ivan. Make sure I am up to speed on all the technical stuff. Anything I'm missing on that side before we get to what might call the sticky wickets of this situation?
Well, just one positive byproduct of the approach that BBC and other companies use is not only is it as good as conventional housing, you get things like double walls. So
what does that mean?
Hospitality industry. So because you're building three-dimensional components, you end up with literally where in a typical building you would have a single maybe wall, you end up with a thicker wall, which is actually better for multifamily. You don't hear your neighbor. This is why hospitality before the COVID crisis was actually the biggest driver of growth in the factory-built space.
So literally, you're putting two essentially Legos next to each other, Ivan. You get all the walls of the first one and all the walls of the next one, and that's why you mean you get a double wall in between the two.
And you get it for free because manufacturing can kind of overcome some of that extra material cost with increased productivity.
Okay, but now we go back to Yasmin. But if we're still zoned for single family homes, there's only so many of those you can build, whether they're pre-manufactured or bespoke, yes. And it sounds like you've uncovered some concerns about construction jobs and livable wages and the ability to employ people in this field if so much of it's pre-done in a factory.
So let me start with kind of the concerns about quality. The concerns about quality is, when you say manufactured housing, a lot of people do think maybe mobile homes, I'm going to cite a 2018 WCVB investigation that, you know, a lot of prefab housing, factory-made housing, single-family homes, a lot of Massachusetts residents got those and were not happy with the quality. But, you know, Jack Franks, the developer I spoke to in New Hampshire, and a lot of people who are making this right now, especially focused on multifamily, kind of push back against that notion. And they say, you know, like, as long as you have quality control, like proper inspection, like you operate in a good factory, like quality should not be an issue. And honestly, like the material costs the same. It's not necessarily cheaper material. The benefit lies in that you could just do it faster. And maybe that kind of goes into the zoning issue. They're hoping, and this isn't certain yet, but they're hoping that, you know, if a building will take me a year instead of 2 years, maybe permitting will be smoother. Maybe, you know, there's less pollution and there's less noise, so residents will be more for it. And just to, last thing is I do want to address this issue of workers, and that's very important because I was so curious what the trades unions would have to say about this, because we have really strong trade unions in Massachusetts and they've been working really hard to diversify the field. And so they are not necessarily against it. A lot of stuff is already made in factories. So I want you to hear from Shamaya Turner because she reps the sheet metal workers, and a lot of that is already done in a factory.
Progress is progress, right? So we have to move with the times, but we can't let progress get in the way of people making good union benefits and good union wages. Even as things get more efficient and faster, that we're still taking care of the people who are making that possible.
So I spoke to Frank Callahan too, who leads the trades unions. The main picture is if some of these jobs move from on-site to factory, that still doesn't mean they can't make, they want to fight for similar wages.
They still have quality.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Quality and good worker benefits.
Okay, I'm on a hard clock. So last question to you, Ivan, in two sentences, is there anything else that kind of needs to come up to snuff for manufactured housing to be a significant piece of the housing solution in Massachusetts?
I think, we've discussed zoning. I think the perception that maybe the organized labor has about offsite housing is something that could be fixed. And California has been a good example of organized labor and manufactured or offsite housing working together to produce housing solutions where we need it. And just generally, I think education is something that would help with NIMBYism alone. But we think it's a solution, and it's an important solution that we need desperately in Boston.
All right. Fascinating. Something to continue to watch. Ivan Rupnik is Associate Professor of Architecture at Northeastern University, and Yasmeen Ammer has joined us from the newsroom here, WBUR Business Reporter on manufactured or prefab housing. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.